Welcome to the transformative teaching of Pastor Mavis Theoji, whom God has called in this generation to raise a community of Christ-like believers who are purpose-driven, passionately ablaze for God, and set for global impact. Get ready to encounter wisdom and power as these words will cause a remarkable shift in your life.
Father, thank you tonight. We bless you because you are faithful. We thank you because you are an awesome God. We magnify you, we glorify you. Hallowed be your name in all the earth. We have gathered before you, Lord, tonight so that we can be blessed by the revelation of your word and impartation of your spirit. Lord, we humble ourselves before you tonight and we ask that you will have your way. I hide myself behind the hand of God's mercy, and that I speak as an oracle of God. That you alone be glorified, Lord. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Glory to God. Please, you can please sit in heavenly places tonight. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, I promised, I don't know if I'm breaking my promise, and I don't like to break my promises, but it's not going to be broken. Let's hope that towards the end of the service, we'll be able to pray. Amen. Yes, I really wanted us to always pray a whole lot in this month of November before we get into the Word of God, but I want to share a few things I think will be very, very helpful tonight. In the third service on Sunday, we started talking about all the services on Sunday. We talked about kingdom stewardship. Is that not? Then I talked about the stewardship of five areas. Can you remember them? Number one is what? What? Time. Stewardship of your time. Number two? Stewardship of your body. Number three? What? Is it true that like 50% were not in church? I need to understand what's wrong. Or those that usually come 10 minutes before the end of a service and still go 10 minutes. Stewardship of your time. Stewardship of your body. Stewardship of your what? Gifts and talents. The stewardship of your relationships. Not relationship, relationships. Then the last one, resources, stewardship of your resources. So somewhere in the third service, I was led to ask us to send on Slido some things. I don't know if we still have it. Can we get it? So that will form the basis of my teaching tonight. I want to talk about winning over the flesh. Write it down. Somebody's deliverance is permanent after this teaching. Yes, I'm very sure. I'm not saying it because I feel like saying it. I'm saying it because every single time I have had to talk about victory over the flesh, I've had multiple testimonies of people coming to say, Pastor, that was the breaking point for me. That was just what I needed to hear to break free. So I'm very convinced again that if somebody is ready tonight, you will have an encounter that will put you on a glorious pedestal. In the name of Jesus. I'm not seeing anything projected yet. So, from some of the things that people shared, things that hindered me from serving God. Stewardship is simply helping to manage what belongs to another person. So we said that your body doesn't belong to you. God wants you to manage it properly. We said your time doesn't belong to you. God wants you to manage it properly. We said your resources actually does not belong to you. God wants you to manage it properly. And I told you that anytime people are giving offerings or giving tithes, they should not think that they are giving God from their money. God is giving you an opportunity. Are you getting what I'm saying now? To eat from what he has given you. So whatever percentage you choose to give to God, as it were, it is a privilege and honor that God is giving to you. Because some people work, Solomon was talking about a lot of people who work, and they are not even given the gift to live, to eat it. So that you are alive to even eat from the money that you work for is a gift of God. Do you hear what I just said? It's a gift of God. That you worked, yes, fine. At the end of the month, someone can walk, bring money and die. So Solomon was saying that you are alive to eat from what you worked. He said, it is a gift from God. Ecclesiastes, that's where it is. You see it? That if God gives a person a privilege to eat, can anybody, I like to always show you whenever I say anything. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, let me see verse 12. Ecclesiastes 3 verse 12. Are you there? Anybody there? Ecclesiastes chapter 3 verse 11 from verse 12. It says, I know that nothing is better for them than to rejoice and to do good in their lives. And also, that a man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. It is the gift of God. Can you see it? And also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of his labor. He says that privilege to eat it, that you walked is one thing. That you now are able to settle down and have life to eat it. He said it is a gift of God. So you see that stewardship of your lifetime is necessary. So the psalmist says, teach me to number my days so that I will apply my heart unto wisdom. Are we here together? Then I talked about stewardship of relationships. I said, value relationships around you, because God will make you give account of the relationships he has put in your life. It's either a husband and wife relationship, brothers and sisters relationship. God wants you to value relationship with your siblings. Relationship that you have with employer, employee. Relationship you have with your pastor. Relationship with everybody. Value relationships. Because you're going to give accounts. Those people did not come into your life by coincidence. God brought them into your life. You didn't choose your parents. Did you? Did you choose your parents? Didn't. Just came into your life. So God gave them. Then you discover that somewhere along the line, you were also able to connect with certain people. You maybe didn't even plan, but somehow they came into your life. God chose those people to be in your life. So you are supposed to value that relationship and highly, prize it. So when I asked that question on Sunday, what are the things hindering you from serving God? What are the things that constitute a major hindrance? Some of the questions I got, one of the questions we got is that someone says shyness. I'm shy, so I find it difficult to join a department in church or be committed. I am shy. But I'm very sure that the person who said they are shy will not find it difficult to get an employment in any organization and work. Would they be shy? So that is not an excuse. At all, not an excuse. Because whether you like it or not, somebody claims to be shy now. God has not given us a spirit of bondage to fear. He's given us a spirit of boldness, love, and sound mind. So you even discover that the same person will get an opportunity to do a marketing job and still do it. Sure, you'll be shocked. They say there's no option or you die of hunger. I say, marketing, I will do it. I can market anything. I can sell goats. I can sell poo-poo. Yes, but the person was once shy. But now you realize that money is involved and you will not be shy. How many of us understand what I'm saying here now? Money is involved, not be shy. So remember that serving God also, Jesus Christ said, the Bible says, for Jesus Christ, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. So even though it was a shameful thing where Jesus was, he couldn't. But now we're not talking about being shameful. He's talking about being shy. Like, I don't just like to see people and all that. But you walk around, you go around, you see people in class, you get a job in this life, you work. Or maybe we just decide to do something for you. If you really think you are very, very shy and you can prove you are shy, you will join the hijab sisters, permanent hijab. No, there's permanent and there's temporary. Permanent one, you wear it in your room, you wear it in your house, you wear it everywhere. Stay like that. then I'll be sure that you are very shy. But if this your face opens and you see human beings, it's just the devil trying to tell you that that's a good excuse, but that's not true. So I want you to know that you can do more. Then number two thing that people mentioned, again, is another person said, time, I'm very busy with my work and other things, and I'm concerned about being committed, you know, because I'm very, really busy with my work and many other things. Well, sometimes people, depending on the nature of people's work, say, oh, I work on the island, I come back only on weekends, and that's the only time I have. But you give your employer Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. On Saturday, you have time to probably do one of two things and still create time so that you can serve God. Remember that all those people you're working for, whatever you're working for, you can be shut down today and the company will continue working tomorrow. So in as much as you give that time to the energy, you come to God for renewal of strength. Service is renewal of strength. Service is not expending strength. No. In kingdom service, you are not using your strength. You are renewing your strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall do what? Renew. And what does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Not necessarily praying and fasting. Please understand that. A waiter is somebody who waits in a particular place to serve. When you go to a restaurant, a waiter stands there to serve you. Are we here together now? That's somebody who is waiting. So when you are serving in the house of God, like our ushers, they are waiting on people as they're coming in. Those in the sanctuary keepers department, they are waiting on people as they are doing it. Those that are in any department church, we are waiting on people who are serving. So there should not be the case of I don't have time. Rather, you ask yourself, where are the departments that, despite my busy schedule, I can still find a way to fit in? It's a good question to ask. It's a good question to ask. And if you're that person, just get to the admin, ask that question. And I think that if you are really desirous of serving God, they will be able to find a way to say, okay, this will be able to cover up for you, and you'll still be able to serve the interest of God's kingdom. Amen. Okay. Fear of not having what it takes and not being able to fit into the department in which to serve perfectly. Well, you need not to be afraid. Everybody is trained. All the people who come to choir, they usually go through probation period and they'll be trained. Meeters and greeters, ushers, they usually go through a particular training period and they'll be trained. Prayer department, prayer is training you. So if you think will not fit in there, join prayer department. You don't need any special training. Yes. If you speak in tongues, it's easier. Just be there. And you're okay. Gradually, the Holy Spirit begins to work on you, begins to teach you things, begin to grow and get better. Yes, children departments, they get there, people start training them, and they understand how to deal with children. Every department you go join in church, you will still be trained. There are some departments that is like on the go, but you will still discover that on the job, you start learning. Somebody will put you through, and don't be... The same thing work organizations. When you get a job in the company today, you studied Yoruba science or literature technology or something, and somebody still has to, you get a job in a bank and they have to put you through. Is that not? Yes, you can even anything. You get to, somebody can be a lawyer and eventually discover that I don't like this. I want to do HR, whatever. And they say, no problem. They train you and you can do the job. So the same thing in church. That's not a very good excuse to hold on to. Are we here together? So of all the things that people said, the most important thing that actually struck my mind is the things that have to do with the works of the flesh. In other words, somebody saying, I really would have loved to serve God, but I discovered that I have issues with fornication. It's difficult for me to serve God in that state. And somebody says, oh, I really would have loved to serve God, but I discovered that I have issues with smoking. I smoke. And I like people being sincere, very sincere. One of the persons said he seemed to derive joy from smoking. You know, he mentioned that. And you know, that got to me somehow. I find it hard to stay consistent and stay in a place of consecration. My challenge is still dwelling in the world. Can you see that now? That's a simple thing. I fear that my service will be a waste. If I serve, it will be a waste since I still dwell in the world. But the truth is that if you look at it very well, you are losing at the end of the day because your service will be a waste and you think that staying in the world will be a gain. No, that cannot be gain. Do you understand? That is Satan trying to deceive you that you cannot be consecrated. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Is Satan trying to deceive you? Because if he succeeds to get you on that goal of deception, he will draw you away from service. But what happens in the place of service? You cannot be on fire until you stay close to fire. Are you getting what I'm saying here right now?
The closer you are to people who are on fire, they're doing things somehow, somewhere, somebody influences you, you begin to see their life. Before you know it, you get excited and you see like, I can do this thing, this person. So association will now start helping you. Association will start helping you. Evil communication corrupts good manners. You are in the world, you will definitely be corrupt. When you come into the church begins to refine you. You begin to hear the word of God consistently, more often. Sanctify yourself by the word, for thy word is true. Say, sanctify them by the word, for thy word is true. So as the more you hear the word of God, it sanctifies you and you become a better person. So don't run away from God. In fact, the reason God wants you is because you are in a mess, so that he can make a message out of your life. So it is the devil that is trying to make you feel like you don't make sense, you are not useful, so that the more you stay with him, the more he will mess up your life. So please understand that God has not come to seek for those who are saints, but he has come for the sinners so that he can transform the sinners, and there will be living testimonies of the people that the blood of Jesus, the word of God, and the power of the Holy Spirit has transformed. Do you understand what I'm saying here now? The challenge comes in where a person is saying, I still love the world. It's different from saying, I am struggling. When somebody says, I'm struggling to come out, it's different from saying, I enjoy where I am. Do you understand what I'm saying now? I don't enjoy this thing anymore. I'm struggling to come out. I'm struggling. It's an understanding. That means you're willing. But I don't think I want to do this one now because I'm still enjoying this one. Oh, no, that's a problem. That's where the Satan has actually gotten that person. Do we understand what I'm saying here right now? Yes, so I find it hard to stay consistent and all that. Okay, I feel lost. I'm not sure of what my purpose is exactly. Oh, one of the best ways to find your purpose is service, actually. So you are actually, you actually need to start serving. So when you go to choir and you start singing, they say, no, leave that place, You leave there. You join technical departments and they discover that you cannot, you are sound, tone deaf. They say, leave that place. You know, you join meters and greeters. And they realize that standing there, you know, you fainted one day, we'll carry you again, pour water on you. You know, by testing and testing, you just discover that you are very good, maybe with sitting with children, or maybe you're good at just sitting down at my admin stand and just taking records and listening to people. There's always a place for everybody. Yes, there's always, you don't be ashamed of making a mistake somewhere and joining another one. In this church, you can start from a department. If you're not getting it, join two, join three, join, just move. Just that if we see that you're moving too much, we can move you. Yes, what it means that I can intentionally tell you, stay here and learn this. That means you need to learn something instead of running away from it. Some of us run away from things we're supposed to actually learn. Do you understand? God might want you to join this sanctuary keepers because your mom has been complaining you don't wash the toilet, you don't do anything. So God wants you to learn it in church. And it might be a wife. Your husband is always complaining the house is too dirty. And God says, go and join that place. If you can clean it for everybody, you'll be able to clean it for yourself. There are many things God teaches us, church. Okay, long throw. Guilt. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh. So again, I will deal with flesh. Let me get into this business immediately tonight. Are we ready? Are you ready to learn something tonight? Yes. Galatians chapter 5. Let's start from there. Because some people say sexual immorality is a challenge for them. Some other people, there are many other works of the flesh. I will mention all of them. And you're able to say, okay. You see, I believe that you have come to the place where God really wants to change your life. I believe it with all my life. I believe it with all my life that if you want a church where they can pamper you into misbehaviors and say, don't worry, just continue like that until you die and become useless, you have not found that church. This doesn't look like one. But if you want a church where you are sure that I will hear the word of God, oh, the word might be coming tough and hard, but I'm sure that I'm going to be pruned, trained, discipled, and I'll come out a shining and a bright light. This is that place. So you need to make up your mind. You want a beautiful life, a glorious life. You want a life that is full of glamour and God glorified life. This is it. But you want a place where they will pamper you and say, no, I just continue. It's okay. Just mind yourself. You see where grace has bound. Sin does much more abound. Sin has bound plenty. This is not that church. This is the church God has designed for you to become a better person and fulfill his purpose. This is the church that is positioned in preparing people so that they will face their master one day. Because when they close their eyes in death, they will see Jesus. And you want to be able to stand before him and not be ashamed. Do you understand what I'm saying here? This is that church. So let's go. Everybody, let's read it together from, we're going to read from verse 16. Galatians 5 from verse 16. Now, please read it carefully. We're going to verse 21. I want us to read it a step after the other. One, two, go. Yes. So he's saying, I am telling you that if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill. Don't rush. Go back. Until I say move. You're already being in the flesh like that. Yes, fast forward. Being too fast is fleshy. You know, flesh is always fast. Yes. The righteous does not make haste. I'll show you everything from the Bible. I'm just joking anyway. Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh. In other words, he's saying that if I walk in the Spirit, I will not be at the same time walking in the flesh and doing what the flesh is asking me to do. And if I am walking in the flesh, I cannot be walking in the flesh and at the same time walking in the flesh, because you are just one human being. It's either you are walking in the Spirit or you are walking in the flesh. If you are walking in the Spirit, flesh has got nothing on you. If you are walking in the flesh, you have lost touch with the Spirit. Is that very clear? Very good. So let's move on now. Verse 17 says, for the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. In other words, Paul, speaking to the Christians here, is telling them that I know that you wish to stay away from sexual immorality. I know that you wish to stay away from drunkenness. I know that you wish to stay away from idolatry. I know that you wish, but he's saying that if you walk in the flesh, you will not be able to do that thing that is the wish and the desire of your heart. Are you seeing what he's saying right now? He says, because the Spirit is fighting the flesh, and the flesh is fighting the desires of the Spirit. In other words, what the Holy Spirit there is capital letter. Can you see that now? What the Holy Spirit desires and wants, the flesh is saying no. And what the flesh desires and wants, the Holy Spirit is saying no. So two of them are contrary to one another. Do you understand? It's like two people on this side. One is trying to pull you on this direction. This one is trying to pull you on this direction. It says if you allow this one to pull you, you will become a slave to this one. If you allow this one to pull you, you become a slave to this one. Whoever pulls you, whoever you yield to, whoever you submit to, determines the way you begin to live your life. Am I communicating? For the Spirit, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit. That means what the flesh wants is not what the Spirit wants. And what the Spirit wants is not what the flesh wants. They are contrary. They are in opposition. They do not agree. Do you understand that now? So let's move on. Verse 18. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the bondage of any law. Why? Following the Spirit is the fulfillment of the law. The reason is because Christ has been made to the believer to be the end of the law. And now this is the Spirit of the law of life that is in Christ Jesus. Hello, listen to me. I don't want it to be complex. The Bible says, for the Spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus, there are two spirits at work. The Spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus and the Spirit of the law of sin and death. Are we here together? Romans chapter 8. It says, the Spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus, if we follow it, it has made us free from the law of sin and death. So that I'm not looking at the obeying one rule and regulation of the law. All I need to do is to follow the Spirit. The Spirit has fulfilled the law. The Spirit understands whatever the condition of the law is. And I don't need to look at any law. Why? Because the Spirit of the law of life in Christ Jesus makes me free from the law of sin and death. Does it make any sense here? It means that if I follow this person, he knows how to fulfill all the condition of the law. So he will lead me. I will not be against the law. But if I follow this other one, the law will take a toll on me, because the law will keep putting demands on me that I cannot fulfill. Because everything that the law of Moses brought to the people was to put them to the revelation of sin. They saw sin, they knew sin, but they could not conquer sin. But Christ comes and he tells us, if you follow me and you allow me to lead you, as I am the first person who came and died and lived without sin, if you allow me to lead you, you will walk in that path, you will not live in sin. Does it make any sense to anybody? Is it very clear? Very good. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are made manifest. Now, it says, I want you to see what the flesh always leads people to do. I want you to see what I will define to you what flesh is, because many of us don't know what flesh is. You usually think of flesh as just pornography, fornication. There's more than that. Flesh is more than that. Flesh has so much to do, a lot to do with your mind than your physical body. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Now, these are the things, these are the behavior, these are the tendencies, these are the way flesh will lead a person. So let's read it together. Number one, it says what? Adultery. That means a married person in their married relationship having sexual relations outside their marriage. Is that not? Number two is what? Fornication. Please get this. We live in a world that is accepting everything that God says no to as normal. So the world wants us to agree that it is very okay and normal for people to have fornication. What's wrong? Hello, child of God. Understand this. That we are in the world, but it says we are not of the world. It can be popular. Movie stars can project it. Governments can buy into it. But the government of heaven has not bought into it. And because the word of God says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, not the way it is seen in Nollywood, not the way it is accepted by our government here, not the way it is accepted by the things you know, but as it is where? In heaven. And in heaven, what we hear is holy, holy, holy. It says, let your will be done. The way it is seen in heaven, it will happen here. So it doesn't matter what they accept on the face of planet earth. In fact, the Bible says that in the last days, I'm going to show you that scripture. God help me tonight. I'm going to show you that scripture. That in the last days, people will heap to themselves false teachers that will teach them what they would like to hear. Right on, pastor. I love that. Hey, now this pastor. I like this pastor. That's not where we're going to. You can like a pastor and you will like him until he drags you into destruction. For there is a way that cement right onto a man, but the end thereof is destruction. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? Now the works of the flesh, he said, they are evident. Adultery, a man who is... there's no how anybody can justify it. Any married man, any married woman having extramarital affair is an adulterer. You are committing adultery. Simple and short. Any young man or young woman that is not married and you're having sexual relations, there's no Bible, there's no church, there's anybody who justifies it. The Bible says, let him be accursed. Any pastor who stands on any altar and say that because of the way things are going, it's popular, let's give these young people a little break and let them just be having small, small fornication left and right. He says that man is cursed. He's a devil. Doesn't matter how smart he is in his preaching. Are you hearing what I'm saying, church? Are you getting what I'm saying here now? Listen to me carefully, because this thing, if you don't believe, in school of ministry, I was teaching them about scripture as the inspired word of God. By the time we're done with that class, it dawned on them, I believe, that wow, this thing is life. You don't know what the Bible is. I'm sure many of us don't. You probably think it is one of Shakespeare's writing. Or you think it's one of, what they call his name now, Jim Collins writing, or Brian Tracy's writing, or John C. Maxwell's writing. Please don't. This is the ancient word that is ever true. It has the ability to transform a person and make a person look like God. A person can be looking at this word, following it, you'll be looking like an immortal. It's not an ordinary book. So don't think that because people have carried it and they have bastardized everything and they have made a mess of it, that you can just sit down and decide what you call your truth. No! In this kingdom, there is what we call relative truth and universal truth. Universal truth is unshaken. It can be relative to say in this community we agree, no, but when it is the truth of the Bible, the truth of the Bible is ultimate truth. It is universal truth. It is absolute truth. Accepted anywhere. Nobody can argue it. Nobody can argue it. You can argue with yourself, but you can't argue it. You may not like it, but that's the final answer. You know why? The person who wrote it himself is called Word of God. So I don't know how you want to argue with Word of God. I don't know how a person wants to disagree with the word of God. The Bible says it very, very clear that the word of God, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. This word is one that was made flesh and dwells amongst us. Is anybody getting what I'm saying? Yes. So you need to understand the authenticity, the clarity, the accuracy, the inherency of scripture. Infallibility of scripture. All these, when you grab the understanding, then you know that you're on your way to believing every single thing you see there. Are we here together? Next thing is called uncleanness. I want you to do a little work. Time will not pass. I'm not sure. I don't know if we can really do, but I have in mind what I really want to share. Uncleanness. Use your Bibles. Open Passion's Translation, TLB, the Living Bible. Open different translations now as we're reading this. Then you'll be telling me what your own is calling a particular thing so that we don't stay with Uncle James all through. It says, but when you follow your own wrong inclination, your lives will produce these evil results. Impure thoughts. Eagerness for lustful pleasure. Can you see what that's calling it? Eagerness for what? Lustful what? Eagerness for lustful what? Yes. What next? What's showing there now? The craving of the self-life and obvious sexual immorality. That's what we call adultery and fornication. The next one is lustful thoughts, uncleanness. Uncleanness is lustful thoughts. That means you are thinking of dirty things. You're already having the sex in your mind. You are playing the video already. It's called uncleanness. It's unclean and impure thoughts. That's why the Bible says casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself. If it is playing a video that is above the knowledge of God, it says cast it down. Or else it will corrupt you. Is anybody getting what I'm saying now? The next thing is here what? Pornography. Now, pornography here, in another translation, your own is what? Part of the things he's sharing. Uncleanness, lewdness, they are very similar. So what's your own say? King James calls it what? In verse 19, what are the things King James mentioned? Lewdness, is that what? What is lewdness? Check your dictionary. Check. Just Google and check lewdness definition. I want you to know it by yourself. So that when you are, you know, these things I'm saying now, some of us are already saying, ah, Pastor is going to touch many people today. I'm touching you too. See, every single person has an area of flesh. When I'm done, you will know that everybody is involved. But it takes the Spirit of God to subdue it. Then some people have graduated while others are in the process of their graduation. And while some have not enrolled in the school. For now, the works of flesh, fornication, uncleanness. What? Check your own uncleanness and lewdness. Lewdness. What does lewdness, what does it say? No. Say the trait of. The trait of behaving in an obscene manner. Another person. Offensive in a. That means the way you dress, it can be called lewdness. Your dressing can be lewd. In other words, you are dressing in a way that is sexually suggestive, seductive. I wanted to show you some pictures of some people in different churches and their dresses. And I'm sure that if they bring a picture to our church on Sunday, they will catch us too. Yes. Yes. That's the truth. You know, you don't lie about things. You just tell yourself the truth because we are working on ourselves. I would have shown it, but who knows whether somebody will now pick our own picture and show somewhere. So let's just save ourselves and correct ourselves and not expose ourselves. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? Lewdness. This is the work of the flesh. It is the work of the flesh that makes a person want to dress in a manner that is sexually suggestive, indecent dressing, sexually. Another way to define lewdness in the dictionary I saw that you can check it. You probably will see what I'm saying in your own. Sexually touching someone else or convincing or forcing other people to touch each other. Lewd behaviors. That's lewdness. All these things are dictionary meanings and just to explain and express things. You see, when we share this, when you see these things in the Bible, some of us just read it like lewdness. You know, you need to check the meaning. How did you come about reading something in the Bible and you're not willing to check what is the meaning? Then you can check Strong's dictionary, check Strong's exhaustive concordance. So you just type Galatians 5 verse 19, Strong's. Then you go and click the Bible there. Then check lewdness. Somebody do it. This is practical class. And tell me the things that you can see. Bible students, I taught you this thing in PFLA. I think they should have taught you in PFLA 2 or so. And I also taught it, I teach it in School of Ministry, how to use the Strong's Concordance. I talk about it over and over. So I think you should try it and let's see. What can you find there? Do the search for me. Is anybody doing it? Wow. What's happening? Okay. You can stop Strong's? Is that Strong's you're using? Okay, so what's it saying? Lasciviousness. Uh-huh. No. You're reading the whole scripture now. Pick the word lewdness. What is the Strong's number for lewdness? 766. That's Strong's number for lewdness. Okay, so what can you see there? Some people are lost. Wait, don't be lost. Filthy. So go and check. That's how you do to understand. Many of the students fail because they just read words. They don't check the meaning. No, you see, that's why many students don't have understanding. They will always fail. It's not anybody's fault. It is their inability to pay attention to details. When you see a word as you are reading that you don't know, stop, mark it, check the meaning. If you check the meaning of that word, no devil will take it away from you in an examination hall. That's how we study. See, how did they pass? It's not, these things can be very practical. Is anybody going to say here now? Yes. Yes. So, this is Strong's here. Okay. Strong's, what's Strong's? Is that Strong's word? Are you there? Sorry, brother. Let me get from here. Uncleanness. Okay, calls it lasciviousness. Is that not? So, click on it. Click on 766. And it says, from a compound word, okay, and presumed, it says uncertain derivation, but apparently meaning continent, licentiousness, something including other vices, filthy, lascivious wantonness, unbridled lust, that means unguarded lust, lust without restraint. Can you see it now? Excess, licentious, lasciviousness, wantonness, outrageousness, shamelessness, dress almost naked and shameless. Shamelessness. How many of us have seen that we are in that world now of shamelessness? All our ladies, if you are here, say amen. Amen. Some of you are ashamed of what your fellow ladies wear. You can't stand it. Because you are wondering, why now? Am I making sense here now? Let's be sincere. And the Bible calls it, that word there is shamelessness. In other words, throw away the shame. If you see anything, you see, that's your business. And that is the behavior of lower class of animals. Listen. When Adam and Eve tried it in the Garden of Eden, they could not even stand. They had to cover a little bit. When God saw the way they were covering, it was not okay. God said, no, this is not it. They just took fig leaves. How many of you know what a fig leaf is? Just small. And they just covered here and there. And God said, lie. Was anybody looking at Adam and Eve? Did they have children to look at them? Was it the animals they were covering from? But by divine nature, what God put inside man and his genitals is supposed to be properly protected. Whether anybody is seeing it or not. That was what God was teaching them. That nobody needs to be seeing this thing for me to cover you. I covered you with glory. Invisible clothes. But because sin has come in and you are falling short of the glory, that means your robe of glory has dropped. Now let me give you earthly glory. I will take something from the earth and cover you. When we get to heaven, we will not be covered with ordinary clothes. We'll be covered again with the glory. It is called the robe of righteousness. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? God still has it, but the fallen nature of man cannot wear it. The only way you wear it is that when you're about to wear a cloth, you want to dress, you will ask yourself questions as one led by the Spirit. You will not dress. Don't And please, God said to me when I was praying this teaching, he said, please remind my sons and daughters not to make any pastor, any teacher, any preacher their standard. Because you will see a lot of pastors, which including their children and maybe their wives dress half naked. They are not your standard. Only Jesus is your standard. Please always remember it. I say, but so pastor, I met people in the pastor online. I saw the way the wife. Please don't say that again. You will not be judged by the standard of that pastor. Every man will stand before the judgment seat of God to give account of what he has done in his body, including that man, that woman. Many people have set their hearts with hot iron. No matter what you teach, they will never go. You know why? The flesh has carried them very far. They are led by the flesh. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? So that somebody doesn't say, they don't wake up and say, oh, pastor, but this person online is a pastor, he's a man of God. Let me tell you something. People crucify themselves. Some people are not yet crucified. A person can be preaching fine and not be crucified. Have you not heard, even you too can testify of some people that it is men of God that they went to counseling with that is virgin them? Is he not man of God? And some of those guys, they may not be sinners, so he might be sincere with what he's doing, but he did not deal with his flesh. And the flesh you refuse to deal with on your way up, when you get there, it will bring you down. It's only a matter of time. So we can see it, all manner of things, unbridled lust, excess, whatever it is, we have read all those things. Shamelessness, insolence. When you check the meaning of these words more, you'll be able to see all the things. What's another thing there? Works of the flesh. There are many of them. So all these ones are things attached to body, right now. Is that not? Then let's move on. 20, verse 20, please, for time's sake. Idolatry. Kai, how can idolatry be works of the flesh? Oh, yes. That's what happens when somebody holds your hand and say, wait, I know you have been looking for this thing since you cannot get it. Let's go and visit this Baba. Idolatry. You will now leave Zion and go and bow to something else. And you will say, no, I don't worship it. Listen, any person that gives you support or assistance in the day of trouble, you will call on that person. He has become your God. And that's why our God is called Ebenezer, my stone of help. If you can approach any other object for help, that object becomes your God. It is called idolatry. You have worshipped it. If there is anything in your life that has become what you can never do without, that every time you can, if you are not with it, you can't survive, that thing has become an idol. An idol is something in front of you that you worship. Something that you pay homage to that you almost cannot live without. That is an idol. Like some of us, your phone can be an idol. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? Some of us, your earring is an idol. If you don't wear it, you can never come out. The day you forget it, you will board bus 1,000 naira back home to get it. It's an idol. It's an idol already. I've had days where I'm coming to preach and I just remember that, oh, I didn't call my wristwatch. And as I'm about to run back and he says, go back. It's time. Go and collect the mic. And I'll just come like that. And I will not bother. Because something begins to tell me that, but no. It doesn't have to be like that. That thing is not an idol. I can do without it. Make sure that there's nothing in your life except God that you cannot do without. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Let it be real to you. Number two is what? Sorcery. Sorcery is witchcraft. Check the meaning of sorcery. Check it. Sorcery. People who visit all manner of sorcerers. Check the meaning of sorcery. Sorcery. You say, these are the works of the flesh. Oh. These are the works of the flesh. Works of the flesh everywhere. Sorcery. Have you seen it? Sorcery. And in fact, this one calls it what? Witchcraft. And what does that mean? Click it. Look at, what does he call it? Medication. Magic. They give you something special inside oil. Sorcery. They give you something special and tell you that this particular wristband I'm giving to you now, as I'm giving you this wristband, anytime you see him, wear it. Sorcery. You're about to enter the examination hall. Please hold this thing. As you enter to write, wear it. Sorcery. Sorcery. Can you see it? A medication that is given to a person outside God
to help you achieve something that only God should have achieved for you. Sorcery. There are many women that they have given things and say, anytime you use this thing to sleep with him, if there's no amount you ask, he will not give to you. On Sunday, they will still come and say, holy Lord, holy Lord. But they are practicing what? Sorcery. They come to church, but they are not serving God the way they ought to. Why? They have allowed flesh to lead them. These are the works of the flesh. Say, yes, there are many people. There are many people who go to churches on Sunday. They still consult one thing or the other through the week. Their businesses run, thriving on one thing that somebody has put inside water for them. Are you seeing what I'm teaching you tonight? By the time I'm done with the teaching, I hope you'll be able to understand where we're going to. The use or the administering of drugs, poisoning, sorcery, magical arts, often found in connection with idolatry and fostered by it, the deceptions and seduction of idolatry. The next thing you see there is what? Hatred. You see, somebody else is saying that, me, I don't have issue with fornication, but you live in pure hatred. Hatred. You know what hatred is? Opposite of love. Hatred. Bible says that it is a work of the flesh. When people are succeeding, you hate to see it. Others are doing well. You just feel very bad inside. You are allowing the flesh lead you. The Bible says that thing is called the works of what? The flesh. Another one is contentions. Another word for contention is what? Division. Those people who specialize in causing division. Carry mouth. Talk. Scatter these two people. Move. Scatter these two people. Move. Scatter these two people. Move. Division. It is the work of what? The flesh. Listen. Flesh is not demon. I will explain what flesh is to you. This is not demon yet. So some people say it's a demon that is worrying me because you are committing fornication. It's not demon yet. It might have graduated to demon, but it's not yet demon. Are we here together? Contentions, jealousies. Do you see somebody wear a particular gown, you feel like dying. Why is the gown fitting this person like this? Why would they? And anytime you wear it, it looks like it does not fit you. The reason it's not fitting you is because of the jealousy, not because of your body shape. It will not fit that kind of person because jealousy will not allow anything sit on you. If you see it on other people, it will work. But if it's on you, it will never work. Because every time you see it and you don't appreciate it on others, nobody will appreciate it on you. It will not make sense. Does anybody get what I'm saying tonight? Jealousy. Outburst of wrath. A lot of people have come with this one and they usually boast about it a lot. I have serious anger issue and I know. You are boasting in the flesh. You are giving flesh opportunity. You are bragging about flesh. Say, in our family, our anger is very hard. You see? We have anger issues. May you not have anger issues, though. You don't know what anger issue can cause. If you know what anger issue can cause, you will never brag about anger. Anger is dangerous. The two sons of Levi killed men, and when they did that, their father said, my soul depart from your anger. He said, because you saw a man and you slew the man. He said, both of you, you will be scattered among the tribes. Any person who lives that kind of angry life, they never get settlement in life. If you have been bragging about it before that, I know I have anger issues. Please, today, go back home and say to yourself, I don't have anger issues. It will never, anger cannot rule over me. I am well controlled. The Holy Spirit guides the borders of my life. I'm not an angry man, I'm not an angry woman. That same anger you are boasting about that made many people not enter their husband's wife house, that made many women run away from certain men and they cannot marry them. That's the kind of anger you are boasting of. God forbid. The Bible calls it outbursts of wrath. That means it always will flare. You'll be wondering why. At the end of the day, when they flare like that, sometimes they will destroy something. And after they've destroyed that thing, they cannot repair it again. That is wrath, outburst. Selfish ambition. Many people are not aware that this is what is pushing their lives. You know what it means to have selfish ambition? Selfish ambition. You know what it means? That means you want to pursue a particular thing just for you and yourself to be seen. Let them know me. I want to be on flyer. I cannot serve anybody. Selfish ambition is what has caused a lot of young people and many more in this generation. Their head will never come down to loyalty and service. They always want to raise their horn. You will pray tonight and say, Holy Ghost, cut off that horn. That horn that will destroy my life.
The horn that will not let them submit. The horn that will not let them stay and learn. The horn that says, I must be seen, I must be known. Sir, the day you start pursuing the desire to be seen and known all by yourself, I can guarantee you, you will never be seen, you will never be known. If by mistake you go up, it's only a matter of a few years, you'll come down again. Why? Because your intention is to project self and not to project God. Your intention is to project self and not to project God. Selfish ambitions. They have personal ambitions. In Christianity, in this kingdom, we don't work by power of ambitions, selfish ambitions. Why do you want to do what you want to do? Why do you want to come into ministry? Why do you want to start the prayer group? Why do you want to do that online Bible study something? Why do you want to do that particular thing? So that people will see, that men will know. For 30 years, Jesus, your Lord and Savior, as smart and as intelligent as he was, he stayed under tutelage. He came out at the age of 30 and worked for 33 and a half years. And the Bible says that even Jesus himself, to show that it's not about himself, guess what he says? The Bible makes you understand that to show that it is not about himself, he had to submit himself to John the Baptist to put hand on him. So it means that the word of God by whom the whole world was created subjected himself to one of his creation that he created and said, lay hand on me. And yet some people will never. They are very proud, full of themselves. It is called flesh. Works of the flesh. Time will not pass. I can, at Oxano, listen, Oxano is going to come very soon. Yes. See what God has laid in my heart. Let me start sharing for midweek service. Oxano starts, I think, supposed to start on the 15th, but I've switched it. We are going to have 3 days immersion. It's a full camp, 10 hours every day, prayer and teaching, 10 hours. We'll do it on Tuesday, we'll do it on Wednesday, we'll do it on Thursday. Then the real program will start on Friday, Saturday. So go and get ready. Go and get ready. It's going to be it's like entering a furnace. You will enter a furnace. When you come out, there are many people that have never recovered from the 15 days we did the last time. Eh? I told you those times. I said there are some people you will never recover. You will just realize that was the starting point of my victory over flesh. That was the starting point of my victory over self. That day, I died to myself and I woke up in Christ. Except a grain of wheat falls down to the ground and die, he abides alone. You will enter the furnace. When you enter the furnace, you don't dictate what will happen to you. You will be burnt to the temperature that God wants you to come out with. And when you come out, men will not see you again. I can bet you, if you enter water and you come out, we will know you. If you enter fire and you come out, we can never know you. Hey, they will mistake your face. They'll be asking, what happened to you? Some of us, that Oxano, you'll be, a scar will be upon you like this. And whenever the devil sees you, whoever struggles with anything, like Jesus said on the last day of the feast, he said, whoever tastes, let him come. Let him come. That is what I'm speaking about, Oxano. Whoever is hungry, whoever is desirous of something better, whoever is saying that I'm tired of this fleshy level, I desire to grow. I desire to come aflame and afresh for God. It's not just going to be a prayer meeting. No, there will be serious, practical teaching, step-by-step approach that you will look at yourself and you will come out. You will say, man, the word of God has washed me. Sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is true. Are you getting what I'm saying tonight? Get ready. Get ready. The next thing about the flesh is what? Dissensions. Another translation calls it what? Check it. Dissension. Another translation calls it? The passion translation. What does it call it? Resentment when others are favored. That's jealousy. Temper trumps. Anger. Angry quarrels. Only thinking of yourself. Being in love with your own opinions. Being in love with your own what? Opinions. Chasing after things instead of we'll move from there. Move. Verse 21 now. 21. Being envious of the blessings of others. Mother, uncontrolled addiction. Uncontrolled addiction. Pastor, I cannot seem to come out of pornography. That is it, flesh. Anytime you find yourself in a place where you cannot control. You know, there's something about, you see, God wants to help us. I love Jesus. Somebody is helped. I say you are helped. Eternally helped. By the time we leave this meeting today, your eyes will open and you say, I've seen light. Just line upon line, precept upon precept. You will look at the word of God and you will see your weaknesses. And you will say, now they are swallowed up in glory. A new life has started. That will be your testimony. in the name of Jesus. It says, be dangerous, uncontrolled addictions. Wild what? Yes, the pastor, is there anything wrong for me to attend all those parties where they do this, they're naked? It's wild. It's the flesh that is leading you there. The spirit cannot ever lead you to that kind of party. There are many parties in my life that I never attend. Why? Because when you finish attending those parties, you feed your flesh. And when you come back, you that have not done pornography for the past 3 years, you're tempted. You just see it, obviously, you'll be tempted that night. Because what you saw, you also want to see again. There are places you are not supposed to go. You deny yourself. You know what the Bible says, deny yourself? That means others are doing, I would have done this, I would have been able to, but I deny myself. Flesh wants it, but I say, you can't get it. Wild parties. They organize a party, and they say it is a party for whatever, and Christians, and before you know, they begin to put different things inside cup for all of you. And everybody is there. Wild parties. They begin to mention games, and talk all manner of satanic games, and a believer is participating. And they say, do what you used to do when you were not born again. One thing you can remember. And you start acting. Devil. Taking you back to your vomit. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Can't you see all those devilish games? That you are doing something. You've been working with God consistently for the past 6 months, 3 months. Then you attend a party where they now tell you that you will try one thing you used to do before on your girlfriend, on a particular girl in the party. And they say, if you don't do it, you are going to pay 5,000. And the devil knows you don't even have 1,000. So to avoid the shame of saying I am broke, you will bow your knees to Baal and worship Baal. Is anybody getting what I'm sharing tonight? Am I helping anybody? Please listen to these things. They will help you. What I'm teaching. Oh God, help us. Wild parties and all other similar behaviors. Wild parties and all other words, similar behaviors. Somebody say similar behaviors. So you know what the similar behaviors can be like. Drunkenness, smoking, drugs, rebellion. You know stubbornness is the work of the flesh. Stubbornness. Kagidi boribi ewuremala. Stubbornness. Say, you say go left, they will never, you know how those goats are. Have you seen where the malam is struggling with his goat by himself? He's begging the goat. When he cannot do it, he will carry the two legs of the goat and carry it like that. Stubborn. Anytime you say do A, they will do B. You know how? One of the ways you see that manifestation, watch little children as they start growing. They want to be stubborn. It is not demon, it's Adam. Adam has deposited his DNA in all of us. It's an Adamic thing. A child will be sucking from the mother, bites the mother and laugh. It's terrible. It's flesh. Why did you laugh? If you know what you did, if you don't know what you did, why did you laugh? And he said the child does not know anything. Adam is already giving the child a template. Some of you are laughing. I can see your teeth. That's what you did. But thank God your mother had mercy on you. But some mothers, I trust them, they flog you, you will cry. Are we here together? Is anybody learning what I'm saying? Stubborn. There are many people who are very stubborn. Stubborn people everywhere in church. Stubborn. You say A, they say B. You say C, they say D. The one is come, they say, no, don't tell me that. You know, we all have our own opinions. A disciple is not an opinionated person. You don't run with opinions. You follow the dictates of the master. I don't have opinion in scripture. Whatever Jesus says is the final answer. That's why people enter another. See, there's one there. You didn't pick it. That one is called heresy. You know what heresy is? A person can start serving God and doing well. Then one day, Satan will introduce to him a doctrine of demons. Have you read the Bible where the Bible talks about doctrine of demons? Read Bible. Many people don't read Bible. You don't read the Bible. I don't know. Read the Bible. There are many people who carry heresy. You know what heresy is? Heresy is a teaching that does not exist. A very wonderful man of God can start 15 years after Satan can position him for heresy. Towards the end of his ministry, where he's supposed to do an unusual thing, and people celebrate what he has labored for 30 years, Satan will introduce. Some of the God's generals, when you read them, all of a sudden you discover this guy entered and he started preaching something. Some of them started saying that the demons that follow Satan, that they will repent later, that there are many teachings everywhere. It's called heresy. Then this is mothers. That means people kill people. Kill another person. It is the works of the flesh. He didn't say it's a demon yet. Do you know somebody can kill another person and it's not yet a demon? It's this flesh. You must understand. Then drunkenness. Drunkenness. Always going to that place to show up and drink whatever the person drinks. And we feel the flesh will feel so satisfied. The person will go and behave in a very terrible nonsense way and still come back tomorrow again to bow down to the God in the bottle. And every time he bows down to that God, the God will always show him another thing. He will not see clearly. He will not hear clearly. He will start seeing from another realm, talking something else, drunkenness. And today I used to think that it's only men that drink. The rate at which I see girls drink now, I am shocked. I am shocked. Brothers and sisters, I am shocked. Are you getting what I'm saying? The other day on the road, before, guys smoke in public, girls usually hide. But these days, I see on the road a girl puff. I say, that is called shamelessness. Satan has taken another step and is now introducing in a different dimension. And you see that the world we are in right now, people just do things without thinking. They don't bother. It is that same shamelessness. We will not find ourselves there. I didn't hear you say amen. Amen. You will not be found there in the name of Jesus. How do I overcome the flesh? I'm going to teach you this thing next week. Yes, I want to close. What's next week? Is there a midweek service next week? There's midweek service next week. Is that not? Yes. Why I'm saying that is that I don't like people standing when I'm teaching. And usually, people are beginning to stand. I feel a little uncomfortable. That's why. I'll just do a few minutes and I'll stop so that we can get up. Drunkenness. Rivalries. Now, rivalries, I think that has to do with another translation. We'll call it check the other translation. Check the other translations. King James Version, New King James Version, check the Living Bible. Where is it? Okay, as I have said before, okay. Modern drunken, wild parties, and all other sort of things. Okay, let's just move. Let me tell you again, as I have before, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. Then Bible scholars, from their own understanding, have picked the word inherit and say that this inherit does not talk about entering. It talks about getting a portion. Brothers and sisters, that can be another level of deception. You know why? What defines this inherit? Go to King James Version. It puts it very well. It says, those who make a practice. It is one thing to be struggling with sin. It's another thing to make a practice. It says, those that practice such things will not inherit. Practice. What does it mean to practice something? With intention to be perfect. With intention to do well. With intention to be a good fornicator. Intention to be a good adulterer. Intention to be a good... If the intention is that, I'm going to do them now, I know I go do them better tomorrow. Intention, those who practice it. Now, what does it mean to practice such? Somebody commits fornication, he falls into sin. Somebody is cohabiting, is practicing it. That means the person is saying, we will live together, we will just be here, and we'll continue doing. They are making a practice of sin. Somebody finds himself in a situation and discovers that, it was just a mistake. I just got into this thing and I'm really sorry. That is not practice. But somebody gets into it and says, that thing makes sense. So let me try it another way. Let me try it another way. Practice. And begins to enjoy it. And begins to condone it. Some years ago, some people came on from campus from school and said, it's because I don't have space. So, and he's the only one that accommodates me. All the ladies cannot accommodate you. Only a man can accommodate you. My sister, be truthful. There's something else you are looking for. You can't understand. My parents are poor. Poverty is not easy. Pray and believe God. Pray and trust God. Many people are not willing to trust God. When you are not willing to trust God and believe Him for what He can do, you will worship something else. You worship something else. We have been around so that somebody doesn't say, in your days. There's no days. There's nothing like days. The days you are talking about here, I'm not talking about somebody that lived in 18th century. Here we are together. Is anybody getting what I'm saying together? So Galatians chapter 5 has shown us All these things. So what is flesh? Flesh is the fallen Adamic nature. It is the manifestation of the old man. Flesh is not your body. Flesh only gains expression through your body. So you see that there are certain things that are body, body, body. There are some things that are not body, they are mind. They are mind. Jealousy. Envy. That has nothing to do with... Are you getting what I'm saying here now? That has nothing to do with body like this. Murder. Drunkenness. It doesn't have to do much with body. So whenever we talk about flesh, people are not really thinking about fornication and all. That's not all. That's part of it. But flesh can be that stubbornness is flesh. Envy is flesh. Jealousy is flesh. You've seen all the things that constitute flesh. Is that not? These are the things that constitute flesh. It's easy for you to see right now. Now, carnal desires of the human nature, flesh. Flesh is what we have collected from Adam. Flesh can be mortified. Take note of that. It can be put to death. Romans chapter 8 verse 13 and Colossians chapter 3 verse 5. Romans chapter 8 verse 13, Colossians chapter 3 verse 5. Romans 8 13, it says, for if you live according to the flesh, you will do what? If you live according to the flesh, you will do what? But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the flesh. In other words, you cannot kill the flesh, but you can kill the desires of the flesh. Did you get that? You cannot kill the flesh as long as you are alive in this human body. This is mortal. You cannot kill the flesh, but you can kill the desire to do what the flesh is saying. So the Bible says that we should mortify, put to death the deeds of the body, then you will be able to live. In other words, I can decide that I will put to death the deeds. That thing that my flesh wants, I will kill it. I will kill the urge for fornication. I will kill the urge for smoking. I will kill the urge for doing drugs. I will kill the urge for envying other people. When I will kill the urge of being full of myself, bragging, let everybody see me, I will kill that urge. The Bible says it is possible to kill that urge. Now go to Colossians also, let me show you this. Verse 3, Colossians chapter 3 verse 5. It says, therefore put to death your members which are on the earth. What did he say we should put to death? Fornication. Can you see it now? Flesh itself will not die, but the deeds of the flesh, fornication, uncleanness, passion. That means flesh can also be passion. Check another translation and see what that passion is. Check the passion's translation and see it. Evil desires. Look at it. Live as one who has died to every form of sexual sin and impurity. Live as one who died to these diseases. To diseases. And desire for forbidden things, including the desire for wealth, which is the essence of idol worship. The love of money. It didn't say money is bad. It says the love of money. Do you know that many people today, why they kill is love of money. Can you see it? The love of money will drive many people to steal. Love of money will drive people to covetousness. Love of money will drive people to pursue what does not belong to them. What they are supposed to enjoy at a particular stage, they want it now. Love of money. Is anybody getting what I'm teaching tonight? When I'm done with this teaching, I'm sure somebody will say, Pastor, I've come out. I've found my answer. Is anybody getting what I'm saying tonight? 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 and 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 and 12. I will tell you what the goal of the flesh is. Somewhere around here, I'll wrap up. Next week, I will now start with how do I overcome the flesh. I'm introducing you to flesh. Are we here together? 1 Peter chapter 2, 11 to 12. Beloved, I beg you. Beloved, I beg you. Look at Peter. Beloved, I beg you. Like Paul saying, I beseech you, therefore, brethren. Beloved, I beg you. As sojourners and pilgrims, that means strangers, run away, abstain from fleshy lust. Why? He says it is at war. He wants to get your soul. The desire of the flesh is to get your soul. The desire of the flesh is to waste your soul. That's what flesh is targeted at. Flesh's end goal is to destroy you. That's flesh. He says you should run away, abstain. Stay away from fleshly lust, which works against your what? Your soul. The next verse, verse 12. Look at what it says there. Verse 12. Can you put it for me? Having your conduct what? Amongst unbelievers as well. That when they speak against you as an evildoer, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation. because they are obedient of institution. He says, but live well, stay away from all these things, so that unbelievers will not be looking at you. How many of us, let's be sincere, do you realize that today, believers cannot differentiate themselves from their unbelieving friends? There's almost no difference. They go to the same clubs. They wear exactly the same things. They switch clothes. As bad as that thing is, they don't mind. So let me check in. You are wearing a slit that is here. Everybody is doing photo shoot and they stay like this and they wear a slit that is here. So you think in your head that that is what you must wear. Why? Who said so? Do you know that I have told you before that some of those designs, they are from the pit of hell? You will never see. You cannot be down and understand what somebody up is seeing. Oh. Just understand that there is a high, there's a climax that God brings us for the purpose of teaching and explanation, to give us clarity so that we can bring it down to people to understand that there are boards and people who sit down and decide how far they want a particular fashion cloth to go. The nations of the world that must enter. In fact, North Korea will not allow certain things enter their country. Strange laws everywhere that you cannot enter here. Just that their government stood and said it will never happen. And it's a monarch system where this guy is saying nobody is going to try that thing. And they cannot try. But we live in a world where they call a secular world. And because it's a secular world, we are beginning to act in such a way that it's not just secular, but we have become worldly. Those people sit down and they decide where they want this particular clothes to go. How many people they think are their projection and targets to sell those clothes. And they design it and get a powerful model to model that clothes. And she will come. I don't understand. See, I don't criticize things anyhow. But I think that things are going very wrong and wild. Where people just come out online, a pregnant woman with a baby, say she's doing shower and open all her body. It doesn't make sense now. Think about it. Almost partially naked, just with something to cover the nipples and just show like this. Think, where is Satan taking them to? And somebody says that, ah, pastor, let's not look at that. Ah, dear local, you know what? When they start walking naked on the street, I will not close my eyes because I will be dead to the flesh. I will pass like that. Say, you see, mad people everywhere. I don't know. Some of you will not be able to stand it. I pray that some of you will not find yourself there. Because very soon they will tell you that the original plan of God is Garden of Eden. They were naked and they were not ashamed. And they forget to explain to you that by the time God said that thing, he said it when they were clothed in glory. By the time they were naked and they did not want to be ashamed, he closed their face. I said, oh, no, you cannot be like that. Not the plan of God. I'm telling you the truth. You see a particular wedding gown, you like it, and you will be so see that religion will make a Muslim girl on her wedding day look 10 times, 1 billion times more beautiful than a Christian girl. So powerfully covered, like looking like an angel from heaven. Then somebody who is a Christian, they will now come out, they will now be looking like something that, you know, a monster just walking like this. And guess what? The man will be all clothed, suits from up to down. Satan is a bastard. Very dangerous devil. He makes the man whose body does not even look any sensitive to cover, and the woman whose body is an object that can become a whole seductive apparatus. He says naked. Can you see the swap? We know you, Satan. I know you. We are not ignorant of the devices of the enemy. May our daughters not become slaves. May our daughters not become objects of seduction. May they become polished pillars in Zion, in the name of Jesus. I want to beg you. You might be laughing at what I am saying now. Don't laugh at it, though. Don't laugh at it. The world is disintegrating. It was not like that. Everything is going down. And it's not civilization. There's a difference between civilization and madness. You must understand it. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? Please understand it. Please understand this. Some things have become madness. Somebody makes your hair and your hair stays on your body. Then somebody will come tomorrow morning and make another hair and say they are doing special hair that will be crawling on the floor. What if car match that thing and you die? See, Satan always pushing people to nonsense to destroy them. Now, that excess already, is that not? How can it be from here? It didn't stop here. It didn't stop here. It didn't stop here. It's now wedding gown. And that's the style some people wear, and they say, I don't know where the devil is taking the world to, but you will not join them. You didn't say louder, amen.
Amen.
Yes. Flesh can be mortified. Flesh can be killed. The goal of the flesh is to create an opening for demons. It starts with the flesh. Then it becomes a demonic obsession. The person starts gradually craving to take a particular cloud or shisha or... And it's just the flesh. Then all of a sudden, a demon stands by the side and says, do it again. Can you just do it again? Friend, do it again. You will not be satisfied. Do it again. And it continues. And guess what? The Bible says clearly that a foothold is created for Satan. It started with the flesh. Now a demon is now supervising it. Like a young man or a young woman who comes and says, I fell into temptation. Oh, and Satan says, who told you you fell? Sir, nobody falls into temptation. Nobody falls into temptation. You cannot fall into temptation or fornication. They don't fall into it. They walk into it. They agree. Fornication is consent. You go do, I go do. Because if you don't want to do, you carry your bag and go. It's as simple as that. Say, I fell. You didn't fall. You were standing very well. You walked into it. You walked. It's a different thing. It's a different thing. Are you getting what I'm saying now? There is no sexual sin that is not premeditated. At the spot, you would have been seeing the flash of light. But whether you are able to silence your flesh is what matters at that moment. Does anybody get what I'm saying tonight? The goal of the flesh is to create an opening for Satan. The flesh is at war with the Holy Spirit and his leadings. The presence of the Spirit does not subdue the flesh. Listen, the presence of the Holy Spirit does not subdue... The flesh of the Holy Spirit does not subdue the... That means that the Holy Spirit is living inside of you. Does not mean that the flesh will bow. What will make the flesh bow? You submitting to the Holy Spirit will bring the flesh to subjection. That the Holy Spirit lives inside of you and the person is speaking in tongues, does not mean that flesh will bow. You can finish speaking, and as you get home, you will meet your temptation. Are you getting what I'm saying here now? Whether you will submit to that Holy Spirit that inspired the tongue and allow him take charge, or you will abandon him and allow the flesh, you will now know the difference. Somebody finish hearing a message like this, after service like this, and after you finish hearing it, it does not mean that tomorrow morning Satan will not tell you, guy, go hang where your guy is there. And you will hang around where your guys are. And by the time they are smoking, shame will not allow you to say, you will not take. You will take again. I will teach you the way to run away. The way to overcome. There's a way. These things don't just happen by chance. Anybody you can invite and beg to come around tomorrow, tell them, next week rather, connect online everywhere. They need to, because the greatest battle for the soul of man is flesh. Flesh. Everyday flesh. The Bible says it is warring for your soul. Warring for your soul. I want you to lift up your hand and say, God, help me. Help me that I will not yield to the flesh. Can you say it? Help me that I will not yield to the flesh. Help me that I will not yield to the flesh. Begin to talk to God right now that I will not yield to the flesh. People yield to the flesh, young and old. A woman stubborn that she will never stay in that marriage again. A man stubborn that he will kill his wife. His flesh. It starts with flesh before a demon takes over. A child stubborn, defying all protocols. People in church who are not willing to be loyal. Stubborn. That is flesh before the demon of loyalty, when disloyalty now sits upon their head. Don't let anybody speak any sweet words to your ears. Don't let anybody speak any nonsense to your ears. Be led by the Spirit. You say, how come? They are believers. They go to church. They still do this. They still do that. It's flesh. It's flesh. And if they continue like that and keep making a practice of it, sir, the result is that they will never enter their inheritance as Christians. Never. You can never. Never, never. Say, God, help me. Say it clearly. God, help me. I receive help. I will serve you. Satan cannot decide who I will serve. You are my Lord. You are my Savior. God, help me. All the signs of flesh, manifestations of flesh. All of
of us, you know one area or the other where this thing is touching you. And you say, God, I don't want to be like this again. Help me. I do not want to be like this. Are you talking to God tonight? Help me. I don't want to be like that. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Lekro suvrande lebarushka barabada labaronske telebaradayash. You must be able to know where the devil is taking advantage of you. Identify it. You speak in tongues, firebrand, but when you get angry, you quarrel instantly. I'm not going to talk to that girl again. I'm going to talk to that guy again. Instantly. Flesh. 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 Jesus, help us. Fame. I want them to know me. I want everybody to see me. You will never know divine encounter and visitation until you die to that desire to be famous. Desire to blow. Kill it. And say, Holy Spirit, glow through me. Glow through me that I will not be seen. Whatever doesn't look like you that is reflecting itself in me. Whatever doesn't show your grace that is magnifying flesh in me. Take it away, oh. Take it away. Careless talk. Some of you, your flesh is your mouth. Lie. You lie at the post. You just lie. You just lie. You just lie. You cannot just be truthful. You lie. You say it doesn't matter now. Is there any big deal? The Bible says they are the father. They are the children of the father, the devil. Because he was a liar from the beginning. And that is what he has been. You say, as simple as lie is not simple. Read Revelation. All liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Number one deception, which we said that caught all the angels in heaven that he threw down, was lies. Lies. You know if lie is your problem, you deal with it. And say, I will never leave that kind of falsehood again. Flesh. The greatest enemy. In Jesus' mighty name we are praying. Listen, you see many of us here, Satan does not know you exist. Did you hear what I just said? Many of you, Satan don't know you exist. Satan only knows that you exist. When within a territory, you are causing spiritual catastrophe. Satan does not need to know about your existence. The problem of many people is flesh. Then when you are able to conquer flesh, the next problem can be demons. Satan is not omnipresent. I hope you know that. Satan is not everywhere. So he does not even know some of you like this. You have not created enough havoc for hell for Satan to identify you that you are around. Those that Satan know, they are territorial disturbance. They constitute trouble in the territory. So one demon goes to report to the prince of the power of that area. And he says, have you seen that guy, Mavis? He's causing too much of a problem. Can you see the number of souls? Can you see the people that are turning? Can you see what he's doing? Then that one carries the message. And he goes to rulers of darkness in heavenly places. And they report the matter there. When they get to that place, they say, can you see all the problem is causing? Then they take it to the headquarters and say, Satan, look at this man. So for some people, Satan doesn't know you exist yet. Is the demons. When the sons of Sceva showed up, you think it was Satan that talked to them? No, it was a demon that spoke from that man. Paul, I know. Jesus, I know. Who are you? It was just a demon. So if Satan does not know you exist and you live and you leave this world, brother, what did you do? Kalemana kabayandash. You need to cause a problem here. You need to let your light so shine that hell cannot but see that something is happening. You need to let your glory so reflect that when they look, they will see there is a light that is beaming from number 36, Ayosha First Street, and the location is clear. And just like Google Map will trap your location, there's a level of prayer. The prince of power of darkness will see that there's a penetration, and Satan will say, I'm picking a red signal. That signal is scattering so place. Please report there. And let's see what is happening. Then you'll be praying at a point. You feel goosebumps all over your body. Like a cloud of 50 demons are gathering around your room. And they cannot enter. Why? Because a wall of fire is created. Satan knows you are around. Satan needs to know you are around. Ah, you will not just be a figure on earth. You will not just be a figure on earth. You will gain recognition. We wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. One. Against principalities, powers. Two, against spiritual wickedness, rulers of that. So your own is still flesh and blood. Wake up. Wake up. You are still at flesh and blood level. Wake up and say, what? So this is what I'm battling with, flesh. That's what is about to kill you. What if demons sit on your matter? What if the prince of the power of a particular community gather and you are the only person they are targeting? And you are saying, I cannot imagine. You wake up. Wake up. There is a giant inside of you. There is a lion inside of you. There is an eagle that must fly. I taught that message at one of the nights here, and I preached it somewhere. Things that clip the wings of eagles and dull the voice of lions. Flesh. Flesh. It's not demon. It's flesh. Go back and say, Kai, so now flesh keep me where I did. Ah, you will not be stopped by the flesh. You will not be hindered by the flesh. You will rise and you will shine. Your light will show. Nations will come to the brightness of your light. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, everlasting Father. There is anyone in this service that has not accepted Christ into their heart as your Lord and Savior. Where you are right now, you don't need any preaching. By yourself, repent and get born again by yourself. Preach to yourself, pray for yourself. Now, as I'm talking, just pray and say, God, I receive you into my heart as my Lord and Savior. I receive forgiveness of sin. I am born again. I cannot leave this church in this condition. God forbid, I am born again. And if you say it now, you are born again. I don't need to make today's method. I don't need to do anything. Just in your heart, if you can believe the Lord Jesus Christ and confess him, you are saved. It is well with us in the name of Jesus. Have you been blessed tonight? Next week is going to be a bomb explosion. Very practical. I'll teach you step by step so that you know what we are wrestling against. You know what we are wrestling against. It's not easy. It's not easy. But you know, be firewood flesh. That's what is tying you like that. Come out. You are a giant. You don't know what you are. The image and the likeness of God. Did you see what the Bible says? It says, awake, daughter of Zion. He says, shake yourself from the dust. You have stayed on the dust too long. Say, is the only one paying my school fees? Come out of there. You that are supposed to pay his school fees and buy him, build house and put him there. He says, pay your school fees. He's paying your school fees. Flesh. There's something you are enjoying. That's why. One addiction is holding you. Next week I'll show you. Wake up, you tell yourself, nothing can hold me in this life. As I'm preaching it in church next week, some of you will vow to God that this is the end. I will never be there again. As I'm preaching, I know some people have already made up their mind. Say fornication. Instead of fornication, I die. You didn't enter covenants now. You didn't think that's how to serve God. They don't serve God by that. Instead of smoking this smoke, I die. And you look at the cigarette like this and remember, I enter a covenant with God that from today, I'll be smoking one chapter of the scripture or four chapters every day. This is my new cloud. And when you enter this cloud, even iPhone cloud, you will know that there are things in this cloud. Eyes have not seen, ears have not heard. You know, when people are smoking things, they see things. But when you enter this cloud, you will know that there is a realm called the seventh realm. There's no smoke that can take a person beyond human. It's just a space out of human realm. Where you feel pain out, there is a space of glory. Ah. Paul said, the day I entered there, I didn't even know what happened to me. Whether I was in the flesh or in the body, I didn't even know. When you smoke what you smoke, you still know you are in the flesh. But when Paul smoked his own, he said he could not tell whether I was flesh or in the body. Don't let the devil stop you. You are a glorious servant of God. You are a generational deliverer. One thing here cannot stop you. Don't ever in your life allow it. Because in this life, I will stand and celebrate you. I have prayed to God. I say, whoever it is, the people who are struggling, in this life, they will come and say, Pastor, that thing that day we wrote as anonymous, I am the one. But look at me today. I am now a changed man. I am an evangelist. A lady came one time and I was saying, I go to party. I said, you, this party you have gone to, Satan will be embarrassed with your life. And the testimony starts showing up like that. And I'm sure that by now, Satan is looking at her and saying, Kai, I miss. They will miss you. They will miss you permanently in that club. They will miss you permanently in that gathering. And they will start feeling you in heaven. They will start feeling you in glory. In the name of Jesus. Every plan of Satan to waste your life before time, hanging through addictions of drunkenness, weakness of the flesh, upon anything, I declare you are totally and supernaturally empowered in this season. As light breaks forth upon you, you will beam the glory of God. You will shine forth the light of God. You will never be put to shame. Yes, no flesh will put you to shame. You will see yourself. You will be telling people your story like this. Thousands will gather to hear your story. And you will remember this day. Tears will drop from your eyes. And you say, Pastor Mavis, you said it. I've put you inside prophecy. You can't escape it. Yes. There are people on my knees that I put them. And I say, God, if you bring this one out, may the testimony be so loud that they cannot but say it. And somewhere, wherever they are in the world, I will hear that this one was one of the seed of the word that I planted. And look at what it has become. The seed of the righteous has become a tree. He that winneth his soul is wise. That's my pursuit. God bless you tonight.
Thank you for listening. We are sure you've been blessed tremendously. For more of this life transforming messages, stay connected with us across our social media platforms at PTC Center and visit our website at www.ptccenter.org. God bless you.